Praise the Lord. There we go. So Cameron asked me if we could, at the end of service, she had a prayer request. And she told me what it was. I said, no, we're not going to do that at the end. We're going to do that right now. We're going to open with praying for Joseph. He is going to have an opportunity to get favor from the Lord. When is it? Thursday. And so he, oh, it'll be your birthday. And so this is like going before a judge. Okay. It's a court date. So Father, we know, God, that you are the one who sees and knows all. Lord, that our circumstances and our situations that we're in, Lord, are no surprise to you. You're not fretting and you're not worrying over this event coming up this Thursday. So I pray right now, Lord, that there would be a peace that would comfort Joseph's heart. Lord, that he would be able to rest in you and not be anxious and not worry. Lord, we ask that you would allow favor to fill that room. Lord, a supernatural grace, Lord. Father, we pray that that favor, Lord, would not just be for that day, Lord, but it would continue. Lord, that Joseph, Lord, would be able to walk in a supernatural favor. Lord, just even as the namesake Joseph, Lord, walked in a divine favor as he went through trials and struggles and difficult situations, Lord, you were always with him. Lord, I know that even though there's been a time that he's probably felt that he's let you down, Lord, you have never been disappointed in him, Lord. You love him and you have a plan for his life. And so, Lord, we release that plan over Joseph's life. Right now, we come into agreement, Lord, with the design that you have for Joseph in Jesus' name. Let favor rule and reign, Lord, on Thursday in that courtroom.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, we get to worship God. I'm a little stuffy. Like just coming at the end of, I don't know, probably was a cold / flu. I didn't have a fever, but so like I was telling Jesse, it's hard for me to hear if I'm on key. So if I'm not on key, Grace, you just sing louder. then we'll have to worry about it. But I was telling hi guys. I was telling the group today that or Jesse today that it's officially fall. You guys know how it's officially fall? You know how in the spring, if the groundhog sings his shadow, that you know there's so many more weeks for spring. Well,
it's
you, when I wear
winter, so many more weeks of winter.
Winter, the spring's coming, right? Exactly. You knew what I meant.
Uh-huh.
But the point being is that when I put on a sweater, when you see me wear a sweater on Sunday morning, it's officially fall. So forget that it was a 21st fall. It's fall today.
And he'll be okay if you call him a groundhog.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Let's see if the Lord can set a fire in our hearts. The intro, sorry. I'm ready to start singing.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love.
Joseph, but I also want to pray for Vicky Slash, and she has a terrible migraine this morning. Father, we pray right now for Vicky, Lord, that you would just touch her, Lord, with your hand of grace. Lord, that you would bring a healing, Lord, to your daughter.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that, Lord, as you touch her, Lord, with this healing, Lord, you'd also touch her heart. Lord, continue to assure her, Lord, that she's yours, Lord, and draw her into your love. As well for Dan, Lord, draw them both into your love, Lord. Let them experience the love of God fresh and anew today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Age to age, he stands.
Distance in that, because for whatever reason at the time I had this belief that God was in heaven and I was here, and that I was bowing before him in honor on earth, and he was seeing me in heaven and being thankful and rejoicing in my worshiping him. I know he receives it as an offering, but over the last few years I've come to the revelation that it's not that at all. that even though it may seem that I'm bowing here in this physical realm, as far as He's concerned, I'm right in front of Him. That I was bowing right before my King and my Lord. There was no distance. And that when I was looking, you know, at that time, you know, for some kind of recognition of that, not realizing that the recognition is that I'm always with Him. I'm always one with Him. I'm always connected. And so I just want us to just go through this course part one more time. And as we say, here I am to worship, I want you in your heart just to get the picture as much as you can. You know, however you know, you don't have to paint some, you know, elaborate, you know, revelation before picture. But if you want to, you can. And just picture yourself bowing before the Father, even though you don't do it physically. Physically is just, you know, it's a byproduct. You can if you can, but in your heart, bow before Him, honor Him, and just experience that connection with heaven that's always worshiping Him. They never stop. Amen.
mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Thank you.
Amen. No longer slaves to fear. Thank you, Lord. Yes?
As we were singing that, Jesse, could you go back a couple of those slides just so I can find out where it's love is called my name? Right there. From my mother's womb, you've chosen me. Love has called my name. Amen. Let me just say something. Love's called your name. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself today. It matters where you're going tomorrow.
Yeah.
I shared last week that my aunt was in critical condition. Well, we lost her on Friday. Boy, I loved my aunt so much. She was my mom when my mom wasn't a mom. Do you know what I mean? And I'll tell you the story later. It's long and drawn out. But what I loved about her was she always thought if she kind of could just slide into heaven, she'd be okay. And sometimes I think we think that. Like, okay, I'm coming back to church. I'm going to be good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But it does not matter. Anything that you do does not matter. It's who you love and who loves you. Done deal. Right there. Has nothing to do with whether or not you slide into church, sit in a pew for 6 months, and hopefully God's not going to strike you dead now. So maybe now you can start like really serving him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, does anybody else think that way? Because I did. I thought that way. And God's not like that at all. It's like, and we were talking about it the other day, like the thief on the cross. He did nothing except ridicule and blaspheme the Lord. And when he got to the end, he's like, oh, Lord, just remember me. And the Lord said to him, he didn't say the sinner's prayer. He didn't do all of the Hail Marys. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that stuff. I'm not downing that stuff. All I'm saying is the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Done deal. Isn't that just amazing?
Will you remember me, Lord? Maybe yeah. That could be the best prayer that we could pray.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's good.
Sorry. Done.
No, that's good. It's amazing how life experiences basically are some of the best messages because they're real, you know, and you know what we've experienced with Aunt Vera, you know, with even Sweet Pea, you know,
the dog, Aunt Vera's dog.
We have a dog.
We have another dog now. Yes,
yeah,
we
have to testify to this because, you know, we tend to think that, you know, life is, we're kind of, you know, we have family, you know, and we have this life, and God's kind of watching us, and you know, he's involved in our lives. But you, again, like I said, you can have a separated mentality. And what ended up happening is Aunt Vera on Friday really got to the place where we had, as a family, to make the decision that she would go into hospice. And so that process is usually transferring them over to Cottage by the Meadow. And so I'm going to go ahead and let you finish the story now. Can you? Or
yeah,
okay.
And so knowing that they were transferring her over, my sister was going to ride in the ambulance with them. And I ran home real quick because I had not taken my morning medication. And so I'm thinking on my way home, okay, I need to get the dog out. I need to take my meds. I need to get over there.
And the dog is
and
her dog.
The dog is her dog. This is her dog that we've had since she went into the hospital this Thursday, two weeks ago. And the dog has kind of held herself like aloof, like, yeah, I'm visiting your house. You know, you're just taking care of me for the time being.
She's very
kind of
sweet,
attitude, but, really yeah. sweet. But that's kind of the attitude that she had.
Standoffish.
So when I came home, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to let Sweet Pea out, but no, if I do that, I'm liable to forget to go take my meds, and I got to have my high blood pressure medication. So I went and took my meds first. Now, I want you guys to understand the timing. Had I taken the dog out before and the medicine after, this conversation we would not be having. Think about that for a minute, and then I'm going to move on. So I took my medication, went in, got the dog, and came out in the front yard up there at the parsonage, and went to the side yard. And just as I got her to the side yard, coming down the hill is the ambulance carrying my aunt. And my sister is sitting in the front with the driver, and I'm waving, and I get down to the dog, and I said, "Sweet pea, there's mommy," and we're waving, and she looks at the ambulance. And as the ambulance gets past us down to right here, the dog goes berserk. Like I've never seen her go berserk at my aunt's like this, let alone at our house, who she's just visiting. You know what I mean? I stood it straight as a pole, and she ran around me like a horse does when they're getting exercised in a corral. You know, the horse goes around, and you stand still, and you just kind of turn with them 5 times. And then she went to the end of her leash, clotheslined herself. I said, "You can't go all that far out." She came back and did it again 5 times around me like that. And then she went out, and then just before she got to the end of the leash, she stopped and turned around and looked at me, and her tail just was wiggling so big. And afterwards, we figured out that this is when my sister got the news she had expired and they could not get back aspiration. So I really believe that dog felt that spirit of my aunt leaving, because it was like, okay, now I can go on to bigger and, you know, other things. And that's what, and now you tell the rest of the story.
And the next morning, you know, I've had the dog for over a week, and, you know, I take her out, and she's her name's Sweet Pea, and she's just a Sweet Pea. She's a type of Chihuahua, and a bigger Chihuahua. And I was just, loving on her, but she would only give so much, you know, like, well, you know, it's like I'm already taken, you know, almost like, you know, because she wouldn't for Gay and for Kay, and I'm sure for Aunt Beer, she would roll over on her back and you could pet her belly. And so I've been fighting a cold, so I slept until about 9:15 on Saturday, really late. And I was coming out, and Gay had already been up, and she could tell that the dog was like looking for me. And so I came out in the living room, and she's just standing there looking at me. I said, "Hi," you know, and I mean, she would look at me when she had to go out, but I mean, she was just like staring at me. So I went and I sat down, and she came over and she looked at me, and she immediately rolled on her back. And we had been planning to, you know, because we'd had our dog for a long time, loved our dog, and we're basically ready to be without dogs. Yeah.
A couple months ago, we lost her.
Yeah. So we weren't going to get another dog. And so, and then she did this other thing, which only, you know, those three did, and she let me do it. And it's almost like she knew that her master had gone, and that she was ready, that she could be part of our family. And so Gay looked at me, "Do you want to keep her?" I said, And we
disgusting.
Made a couple of things.
Like the last two animals, all about him. Like, he went down to take a shower this morning. She stood, and I'm saying downstairs, she stood at the door of the stairway waiting for him to come back and sat there the whole time. Now, this man takes a long shower. She did not move the whole time she waited, and she's got her nose down under waiting to hear his footsteps on the stairs because she knows he's coming, and then she pops up. Her tail starts wiggling like, "Oh, he's coming, he's coming." I'm like, that's just disgusting. She loves me, but not like...
Well,
like,
and the thing is what we're trying to say about this is that God is really involved in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is...
More involved than we know.
More involved than we know. And his creation is more involved in our lives than we know. I now talk to... I was talking to Missy towards the end of her life. You know, you talk to your dog and your animal, like, you know, most of the time, "Hey, you know, let's go outside," or something like that. But I started talking to Missy, and maybe because she was so sick, like she was God's creation. And I was saying, "Missy,
do you know the Lord? I mean, you know, it says to preach to all creation, but I wasn't preaching to get her saved. I was just saying, how do you know God? Because I know you must. If rocks will cry out to God, obviously you must know him. And I'll tell you what, it's almost like they when you start talking that way, it's almost like they know that you're getting in that frequency, and they start, like, she just, like, would get closer to me, and that was Missy. So I was talking to Sweet Pea today, and I told her for the first time, I love you, you know, and I said, you know, and you know Jesus loves you too, you know. And I know it sounds weird, you can say, Pastor Mike's gone flipped. But no, I guess what I'm trying to say is that God is so involved in our lives.
More
and
connected.
If we really would start looking at that, how involved he is and how much he loves us and how much we can have love for each other. And it can be real love. You know, it's not just because you're in these roles, just a husband and wife loving each other because they got to love each other. But realizing, like I realize, that when I connect with you in our love, that it's a God love too.
Yeah,
and
right.
it's an exchange that I get to experience with the Lord as
right,
well.
Right.
And that I can't have, you know, that I didn't have when I was single, you know. Not to say singles can't have that, because when I was single, I had a closer love directly with God.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is he's involved in everything in our lives. And
well,
let's take a look at this.
Look at the timing, too, though. I mean, if I'd have taken her out first, we'd already been back in the house by the time the ambulance came
by. Like you said, we wouldn't be having the conversation.
We would not be having this conversation. I mean, God is so in tune with who we are, what we're doing, how we love him. I mean, he's so in tune with all of it. And we need to be really aware of that. Really aware, because I could have totally missed all of that. In my grief, guys, sleep deprived doesn't even explain this last week. Like hospital work, like getting no sleep and just go. I mean, in my delirium, I was able to see the hand of God moving just like this. And he wants us to be able to do that. He's closer to us than we know.
Objects
huh? What? Objects, occur closer than they really appear or something?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the drivers and the, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The car mirrors. There we go. Okay. Let's go ahead and get going. Oh, are we there?
I didn't see your slides there, bro.
Oh, I did miss that part. Hazy, go ahead and right click, or go ahead and on the, yeah, right over there, right click on there, add PowerPoint. Sorry. I checked all the music.
Where's that?
It should be the top one.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, like he said, he's just going to, he's no,
when he's
no
fuzzy,
bonus,
he
no
is
promotion.
Fuzzy. Hello.
And when I'm fuzzy, I'm fuzzy. Like sometimes, what's that? Okay. You won't be the first time. Only been fired one other time, but it's won't be the first time. Okay. So go ahead, and we're going to go born of the Spirit. Now, what we've been doing is periodically you switch off depending upon what the Lord puts on my heart. But we've been going through the book of John. We started at chapter 1 and verse 1, and we've been going all the way through chapter 3 we're in now. And very exciting, great revelations. You can go back to the website if you want to catch up or re-listen or what was it all about. There was amazing truths that came out, especially in chapter 1. I'm going to tell people who are thinking about God, just read John chapter 1 and just ponder it for a while. You don't have to even read the full book of John. Just read John chapter 1 and you're going to get a lot of truth there. But if we look at John 3, verses 1 through 6, we did last time, and I'm going to have Gay read because she reads so much better than me.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do all these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
Yep, keep going.
Oh, you said through six.
That's what we did last time.
Oh,
so now
do not marvel that I said to you, "You must be born again." The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Continue.
Mm-hmm.
"Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?"
So here we have Nicodemus in a quandary. We talked about it the last time we got together when we went over John 3. And the whole idea of being born again really messed up Nicodemus, because he was thinking in the natural. And as we talked about last time, that when we use our natural understanding or our natural reasoning to think about things of God, we end up disassociating ourselves from the very power of God, because what we limit what God can do. Because if it can't fall into our natural understanding, then obviously it can't happen. And that's what Nicodemus is saying. Hey, how am I going to get born again? Because I'm a full grown man, and that's really disgusting what you're talking about, entering my mother's womb again. And so Jesus says, no, you're not getting it. You know, being born of water and being of the Spirit is necessary to being born again. So we're going to talk today a little bit about being born of the Spirit. So let's look at John 3, 7 through 8. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So notice he says, "Do not marvel that I'm saying to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So because he's referring to being born again and then born of the Spirit, do you think we can all agree that being born again is also being born of the Spirit?
Yes.
Or being born of the Spirit is also being born again?
Yes.
That they're one and the same? Okay. Just wanted to make sure we knew that. Now listen, the wind blows where it wishes. So the wind goes wherever it goes, right? I mean, you guys ever been out in you know, you're out where a place where it's windy, and let's say that, you know, you're trying to keep something out of the wind, or
yesterday.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're trying to keep something out of the wind. And so you put something up to block the wind. And now you're blocking the wind. Let's say you're having a picnic with your family and all the stuff's trying to get blown off. Okay. So you make this little wall of all your ice chests and everything. Okay, it's not blowing now anymore. And then the wind shifts. What just happened? You got to turn the table, you do it, and the wind shifts again, and the wind blows where it wants to go. And that's what it's like to be born again. So you're biblically sound in saying if you're flighty. Because that's what it means to be born of the Spirit, that you never really know what's going to happen. I think, you know, as Christians, I've learned through my life that almost some of the more I've made plans and determined, the more that, you know, I've had to change them, because God says, no, that's not what's going to happen. You know, I mean, Gay and I could both attest. I guess others had some clue. I was not even thinking that Aunt Vera was going to pass. She had been pretty healthy and strong for a long time, and she had lost weight. And, you know, all these things that you say, okay, Gay's going to have Aunt Vera for a while. And that wasn't the case. And we know that she is in a glorious place and that she is experiencing no more pain. I mean, she suffered with having to have something attached to her body so that it could inject directly into her heart 24/7 medication. right? And Gay and Kay, basically for 10 years, 13 years, every other day had to go, they switched off and go and change out the pack so that it would put the new set of medicine in there. I mean, that's a lot to go. She carried oxygen with her. Now all that's done.
Yeah.
I mean, she's free. And I've been saying this even at our meals, to say, Lord, thank you for receiving her into your loving arms. You know, because that was an experience that you know, she just got to experience. Instead of, you know, like us as Christians, we long our whole life to get to be seen by Jesus. You know, she was like the thief on the cross. Just remember me, Lord. You know, if you want me, if you'll take me, I'd love to be received by you. And
that's all it took.
So if we look at this terminology, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 4:24 says this, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So bottom line, God is Spirit. This is Jesus' own words talking to the woman at the well. God is Spirit. And so when we're born of the Spirit, we're born of God. And when we're born of God, we're born again. We're born from above. So looking at this word of... I know it's like, oh, okay, the word of, Pastor. That's like, you couldn't pick the word born or the word spirit. Well, the reason being is because this word of, born of the Spirit, means more than just of. I mean, you know, I'm. Someone could say, where are you from? Well, I'm from Yakima. I'm of Yakima. You could use the term, I'm of Yakima. Kind of makes like you're associated with Yakima. Of kind of sounds like, but I'm from Yakima. Well, from Yakima sounds like you've been there and that you're at another place. This is the kind of word that this of is. It's really kind of mistranslated a lot of times in the Bible. Sorry. It means out from and to the outcome, or out from within. It's one of the most under-translated and mistranslated Greek prepositions. Preposition means it comes before a verb, basically. It's describing the action of a verb, right? Is that what the preposition is in English? The preposition in a word comes right before a verb. I think that's what it is. It doesn't say verb here, but I think that's what it is. Often being confined to the meaning. You English people, forgive me if I'm butchering that. Often being confined to the meaning by. So sometimes that Greek word ek is translated by. But it means out from and to. So let's look at this verse with this in mind. And it kind of communicates, I believe, even more of what's going on. So is everyone who is being birthed, having been born forth from out of the midst of the Spirit. From out of the midst of the Spirit. It's like, to me, where are we born? We're born from our mothers, from out of the midst of our mothers, right? I mean, there's an origin that's being communicated about here. It's not just we're just of God and we're connected kind of to God. No, we're from Him. From the very midst of Him, we come. When we say yes, Jesus, all of a sudden something happens and we become supernaturally connected. And whether you want to say the umbilical cord is cut, I don't know, you know, but I believe that there is a true birthing. And that's why Jesus is using this terminology. When we went through John 3, I showed you a couple different things. I want to kind of go over it again. When we were talking about being born again, Jesus in answers in the New King James says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Young's literal translation says, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, if anyone may not be born from above, he is not able to see the reign of God. So this is talking about being born from above or being born again. One of the other translations, the Aramaic, says, Yeshua, that's Jesus' name in actual Hebrew. Yeshua answered and said to him, amen, amen, I say to you, that if a man is not born from the beginning, he is not able to see the kingdom of Elohim. Now notice that in the Aramaic, it's picking up the from the, that born of God, the from God. We are from God. Now, I know a lot of us tend to think that, you know, we are connected to God just when we get saved, right? That before that I had no association with God. God really had no association with me. I was just a sinner going to hell, and that, you know, he wasn't working in my life. Well, that's not really what Romans 11:36 says. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because this is that word, using that word of. It says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. Amen. What is this saying? For from the midst of God, from him, that being God, Christ, and through the midst of God and to the midst of God are all things. And so I want you to know that God's more involved in your life when you don't know him than you know. And I think this is good for us to know, because it's easy when we're messing up to think that he's not with us anymore, mm-hmm. or that we're not with him anymore. But that doesn't happen. I mean, I'm just telling you, that doesn't happen. God is in our lives all the time. He's waiting for us to turn to him. He's waiting for us to have relationship with him. He longs to have relationship. I mean, you know how much he longed to have Aunt Vera's relationship? Her whole life. There was a fulfillment that came to Christ when he finally got to see her. Because it was another one that was brought back to him. Mm-hmm. That he laid on the cross for. Mm-hmm. That he died on the cross for.
Yeah, and it's really funny, because when my sister and I told my aunt, you know, all these years about the Lord, we were never shy about it, because we told her, if you don't come to the understanding that, you know, you need to be saved, you're not going to see any of your sisters again. And then when we die, you'll never see us again. So you better start getting a new mind frame. But it's really funny, because her mind frame was only based on her actions, not God's. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we do that. Like, we get born again, and when we come to the altar of our heart and we say, Jesus, I love you, you know, forgive me, I believe in you, become my Savior, and all the things that we do or don't do to ask him into our heart, we think that from that point until we die, that it's not necessarily an Amish way of thinking, because the Amish believe that, you know, God will be the one to pick who gets to go and who doesn't get to go. But we think that, or I think, I shouldn't say we, because you guys may not agree with me, but I used to think that, okay, I need to be really good. If I'm really bad, the Spirit of God's going to leave me. And then I need to apologize and ask the Spirit of God to come back. And it was this yo-yo effect all the time. It was exhausting. And to know that in the midst of, even when, you guys, I was sinning, God was there. And all he said, all he would say was, oh, honey, you don't have to do that anymore. It's okay. Just come over here and let's get through this together. I remember when we were at one encounter and I said, we're happy as long as we say, hey, Jesus, here's my hand. Hold it. Now come along with me as we go on my life, you know, go on my trip. This is my trip. This is my journey. Come along. And I'm the one that's calling the shots. But that's not how it is. It's this way. Okay, Jesus, you take me where I need to go. You guide me where I need to be. You guys, that night that I talked to my sweet little aunt, this is what happened. She's like, if I go, I don't want you to bring me back. Where, if I'm gone, don't bring me back. And the Lord prompted my heart, and this is what he said. Put the technology down. Because I was holding my iPad and my phone, put it down and go over there and speak with her. And I did. And I said, where did you go? She goes, huh? And I said, where did you go? If you're gone and you don't want them to bring you back, where did you go? And that's when she said, well, if he'll have me. Oh, if he still wants me. No. Oh, stop. Hey, wait, hold on. He's wanted you your whole life. Your whole life. In all the things that you think you did so wrong, in all the things that you think were unforgivable, he's loved you through every single one. recognize his love is stronger than your sin. His love is stronger than even your commitment to him. His love is stronger than anything you could ever receive. It is strong enough.
And then you just asked her.
Yeah, I said, well, and I asked her, I said, he's loved you your whole life. It's not, does he want you? Does he still want you? He does. He's wanted you forever. Do you want him? Do you love him? Oh, yes, I do. Okay, done deal. You guys, it's not rocket science, and it's not a formula. It's not saying all of these special words that, oh, I get to go to heaven, and now I've just got to be so cotton picking good. And if I'm not, oh, I fall off the wagon, and the Lord is just standing way over there waiting for me to get back up and dust myself off and forgive me, forgive me, forgive me until I get back into it. Oh, you guys, come on. God is way bigger than that. We have short-sheeted the Lord. Does anybody know what that means?
Short-sheeted, yeah.
Does anybody know what short-sheeted means?
Very uncomfortable when you get into a short-sheeted bed.
Does anybody? Okay, some of them don't, so I'm going to explain it real quick. As a joke, whenever you would, like, do... Well, camp joke, but we did it in college, which wasn't very nice. We went into this girl's room. Okay, I'm going to totally admit it. I've already asked for forgiveness, so judge me if you want. But she was all about her. And I mean, we walked into her room at every picture on the wall, and there was an inch of wall that wasn't covered with her pictures of herself. So we took those pictures, and we turned them all around. Now, listen, I'm 17. Come on, give me a break. We turned them all around. And then we got all of her lingerie out and put them in the sink, turned the water on them, soft soap, left them there. And then we soft soaped and salted the top part of her sheet. And then to short sheet a bed, this is what you do. You the top sheet, you know, that you have, you fold it over like it's, you know, all the way down, but in essence, the bottom of it has actually has come up and been tucked around on the edges, and so it's really, really...
You've cut it in half.
You've cut it basically. In half. It's short, so when you get in it, your feet can't go all the way through, and so her bottom is sitting in soft soap and salt, pretty much, with her legs not being able to go anywhere other than, whoo, you know, okay, I admit I did it,
oh,
God's forgiven
goodness.
Me, it's all good, but what I'm trying to
no
say
idea.
Is
had
we...
Had I known this... No, I'm just kidding.
Had we...
I know she has a side, yeah.
Hey. We do that with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We think the Lord is so short-sighted that he can only love us if we're really, really good. Come on, you guys. He knows you better than you know you. He knows me better than he knows me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
the
right.
Lord knows me better than my husband knows me. Don't sell him short. He is big enough to handle any mood you have. He is big enough to handle any words you say. He is big enough to handle any sin you commit. He is big enough. So you guys, stop playing the game. There should be no gameplay this time. This time when you just determine in your heart, Lord, you're mine. I'm yours. Let's do this together. And even if you stumble and you start to fall, it's way better to fall really close by him where he can hold you and pick you up back up than it is to fall way over there where you're the one that has to crawl all the way back through all of your muck and mire. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, and get back to his side. Come on, guys.
But you were always at his side.
Well,
it's only
always
in your heart that you're way over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. See, you guys.
What did Jesus mean when he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? When you know, he told that to the disciples the night that Peter was going to betray him, right? And Peter, you know, nope, I don't know. Well, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him, but he was basically betraying him, saying, no, I don't know him, nope. And at one point he cusses and says, you know what, just get away from me, blankety blank. I've never, you know, you got the wrong guy. I don't know this guy. And so he walked away brokenhearted and thinking that he was done, God was done with him. And God was never done with him. Jesus wasn't done with him. Even though he thought that was it, I have now failed to the place where I will not be used by God anymore, I'm sure. Or even if he was even saved, you know, if they knew what being saved was back then.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't just a couple chapters later, which would have been probably a week or so. Peter's on the boat and Jesus calls him out and says, Peter, do you love me? And you notice the relationship wasn't about Jesus loving him. It wasn't like, Peter, I love you. Do you know I love you? You know, I forgive you. No. Peter, do you love me? Right?
Exactly.
Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do, Lord. Okay, well, I'm feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And he, I mean, he's just asking
three
him.
Times.
He wants Peter to restore himself from that fall of three times by saying, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. We're definitely digressing, but...
No, it's good.
It's good. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Another translation, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you're born of God, from the midst of God. You're born of God. Looking at another verse, and I love this one, and we actually sang about this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
That's Romans 8, 14 through 17.
Thank you. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we can say, Abba, Father, which means daddy, daddy, daddy. So here's a little assignment for you this week. And some of you may have done it before. I know I have to like remind myself sometimes, I just need to call you daddy because I need a daddy moment. You know, there's a time when he's father and, you know, we revere him and we honor him. And, you know, there's that fear of the Lord that, and then there's a time that you just need a daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody else that can take care of this scrape in your heart than daddy. And he's Abba Father. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit bears witness that you can call him daddy. I know it sounds weird to some of us. I mean, the first time I thought about calling God daddy or papa, it was hard. Mm-hmm. My religious mindset said, you can't do that. He's Father, you know. And I used to think Jesus was the one that I could approach, him and Holy Spirit, because the Father was Father. And, you know, to talk to the Father is like, whoa, you know, you got to be high up on the food chain or the spiritual chain to talk to God the Father. But once I realized that, no, Father and Jesus are one. If I could talk to Jesus, I can talk to the Father. If I talk to the Spirit, I can talk to the Father. There's no separation or distance in them. They're all the same. Okay. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So what is this saying? We're children of God. We're sons of God. Women, I'd like to say this, you're sons of God. And men, you're the bride of Christ. So, you know, we each get to wear different roles. Even though we are individuals and, you know, you are obviously daughters in your heart, in the spiritual sense, you're sons, you know. It's like in the, I think, is it the Declaration of Independence when they say that all men are created equal, that a school teacher took the men out and wanted to put humankind. Well, that's what they meant. They were like when God's saying sons, he doesn't mean that's limited to men. No, we're all sons. We're all children of God and we're sons. You got to realize in heaven, it's not going to be like it is down here. You know, that we're not going to be given in marriage, which is different. You know, it's hard to think about what that means, but in heaven, it says that we're going to be like the angels, however they are. And so we're sons. We're children of God. I think we'll still have our own personalities and temperaments. So, you know, I'm sure women will probably still have their intuition and stuff, you know, I guess. I don't know. I'm probably going too deep there. Yeah. For you, oh, here we go. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's sons of God. You're born of the Spirit. You are born from the midst of the Spirit. If you ever feel like you're disconnected from God, tell yourself, no, I'm a child of God. I'm from the Spirit. I can't be aborted after I'm already born. I can't be, you know, rejected after I'm already adopted. I mean, I'm his and he's mine. It's a different way of thinking. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. This is John 3:1-2. Sorry. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm. Beloved, now we are children of God. No longer slave to fear. Mm-hmm. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That's the truth. We don't have to be in bondage to fear anymore. We don't have to be battling our own disappointments and failures in our mind and have to crawl back over to God. All we have to do is say, Father, You've never left me. Jesus, you never left me. Just help me walk from this point. Mm-hmm. Help me move on from this failure and walk with you and holding your hand. And if I stumble again, hold on to my hand a little tighter so maybe I don't stumble so hard. I mean, he's willing to work with us. Mm-hmm. Then Nicodemus answers after all of that and says to him, how can these things be? Poor Nicodemus. He was a religious, high up leader. I mean, he had the credentials, and he was messed up with Jesus. Jesus messed him up because Jesus answers to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? I wonder how big he felt then. It's like, I don't understand that. I should know this as the teacher of Israel. Have I not been reading the right book?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder, how have we been viewing the book that we've been reading? Have we been reading it through our own filter and lens? And that we're missing the very simple truths of God? And Jesus would say, wow, you're a pastor.
And you're asking.
And you don't understand this basic thing. So we need to be open to have humility in our hearts. Say, Lord, if you need to teach me differently, I don't want to get to the place where I'm like Nicodemus and I don't know something very basic, because being born again is very basic. And he had no clue of it. To me, it tells me that in the Old Testament that there's born again being revealed. Otherwise, I don't think he could have asked and told him that. It must have been in their teaching, being born again, and he didn't see it. Must be in our, if you were to read through the Bible with the Holy Spirit's help, we must be able to see being born again.
But they read it through the law, I think.
Who knows?
They read it through the eyes of the law, through legal.
Their filter.
And so there was, the way I see it is that there was no humanity in the way that they read.
Well, and the thing is that they had a very tainted view of God, because it was all about judgment. It was all about, you do this wrong, then, you know, and love was missing. Love was the missing factor. And then finally, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So being born again is an earthly thing. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, it's the big, no, it's just basic earthly thing. Being born again is earthly. Who knows what heavenly things Jesus would have loved to talk to him about. But I have a question for him. I'm going to leave you with this. I'm not going to answer it because I don't know the answer. But Jesus changes the way that he's communicating to him and says, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify, and we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Who was the we with him?
Hmm.
Don't answer. Ponder that. Because I think that's a deep truth there, that Jesus was all of a sudden talking about the we to Nicodemus. I think he was also throwing some more fire on that fuel, or fuel on that fire. So does anyone have anything else to share? Anything on their heart? Anything that was popped up during that? No? Yes. What? The disconnection? You felt that. Yeah, when you don't do what you think you're supposed to do, you know, and your heart tells you, oh, you messed up. You know, your conscience tells you, you messed up. The devil tries to stomp on you and let you know you can never get back. Yeah, you did it. You know, you're all done, you know. Don't even go and worry about talking to God because, you know, you committed the unpardonable sin. And yet the whole time, he's right there with you.
It's not so much about the disconnect, but the reconnect. The enemy wants us to look at the dis part because he disrespects us and doesn't believe that we have the rights. But God looks at the reconnect. He's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you were disconnected. Let's just get replugged in. Let's get reconnected together, the two of us, and we'll move on.
And the truth is, you move on. Yeah. You don't go back to the start of the game and now have to start, you know, rolling the dice all over again to get to where you were. You move on. And folks, I'm here to tell you, sometimes in God's grace, you move on to where you would have been.
Yeah.
You don't even miss that lost time because in God, there's no time. And he restores the years that the enemy and the locust took away. Isn't that good news? That you don't have to go back and rinse, lather, and repeat the whole process again. That you can move in God in where you would be had you been walking with him the whole time. Some people say, you know, if you don't make this decision today, you know, you're gonna lose out and never have another opportunity. I'm here to tell you that's not the heart of God. There's always opportunity in God. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there is always opportunity. I don't know how it works at our last breath, but I'm telling you, it's not about how much we can work up to get saved. It's how much we can receive his love and then love him back the best we can. Amen?
Are you assured of that, Junior? Do you want prayer, son? Come on. Come here. Right now, come here.
That's the mama's heart. That's the mama's heart. It's all good, bro. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. you, Lord. Well, praise God. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Does anyone else need prayer? Gay's in a praying mood. Anyone else want some? No, but you get in your zone. I can tell you're in your zone. Did you want prayer, hon? Anyone else? Does anyone else want prayer? Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord. Let's just all put our hands on our heart right now. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, that there's a divine connection always with you. And Lord, that even when we stumble and fall and stray and mess up, Lord, that there's a divine connection with you. Lord, that we're from the midst of you. Lord, even if we don't know you now, Lord, I pray that in our hearts there would be that connection, that we would know you, that we'd be able to see your love, Jesus. We'd be able to experience, Lord, your acceptance and your embrace. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that all of us, Lord, that this week we would be able to experience a greater depth of oneness and closeness with you, of unity with you. Lord, of being with you, not just walking beside you, Lord, but being in Christ, being in him. And Lord, that because of that, God, we will be living differently, that we'll be that light, Lord, that many are looking for, that we'll be that reason in all the chaos, Lord, that speaks. Lord, that you would use us for your glory to reach others, Lord, that maybe haven't had the hope of salvation presented to them way in a way that they could receive yet. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're no longer slaves of fear. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all. Have a wonderful day. The 28th of October from 1 to 5, we'll be here for Stand Out. Stand out and stand up. Are inside or outside? We still don't know. Depending upon the weather. Yeah, weather permitting. Yeah. And we've got Pure is going to be here, who's a rapper. And he's actually a congregation member. He's not here today because he's working. Derek. And then we also have, do you go by Legs? Legs. So praise God, but it'll be neat to see what happens. I see you already have a few coming on Facebook, and I'm sure knowing you, Panda, you're going to probably call them from the highways and the byways, right? Yeah, praise God. Well, God bless you all. Love you, and have a wonderful week.